Amen. Amen. Denise, with the dad's prophecy, I received turned my dad off on the phone at night, and I woke up in the morning. I turned my dad on. I'm not even out of bed yet. I just turn on my phone. I look over, and I received two requests for prophecies somewhere in India. I'm thinking, no. Actually, this is perfect. When everything's clean, I have no thoughts. I have no coffee. I gave one prophecy, and then I gave another prophecy. And one of the prophecies is somebody's brother is having heart problems, severe heart problems, and they need help. And pastor, please pray for him. I'm not a pastor. I have no title, but absolutely. And so then when it's a recording, I'm an ambassador of Christ. Okay. And the prophecy came out. Yahweh just goes, you minister to him and do it. And so I did. I spoke it with gusto, boldness. Be bold. Be strong. Who do you represent? We had a woman come talk about Donald Trump. People wanted to be a part of his campaign. She goes, now you wear pajamas. She's insulting these counselors. If you're going to represent Trump, you're going to have nice stuff, and you're going to be bold. And so I think, how much more with Yahweh? So here comes this prophecy. I started speaking, and then I got a word of knowledge. Now I said, now you listen to me. And it looked like a woman's name, but you can't tell with India. Sometimes it's very different. And I go, you need to stand over your brother and speak the desired results into him. And don't speak it like you normally would. You speak to that body the way you can imagine Yahweh speaking at Mount Sinai. You speak to that body the way you imagine Yahweh speaking to Peter, James, and John at the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. You speak to say, and then this is my son when he was baptized. How would he have spoken? Because you are the Ark of the Covenant, the temple of the living Elohim. Now you walk out and believe that that's who you are and release it. Okay, Pastor. I said I wasn't a pastor. So that's a prophecy. In line. So Albert Einstein was on a long flight. And he's flying coach, and there's an Indian guy next to him. And Albert Einstein looks over at the Indian guy and he goes, it's a very long flight, and I assume that we're going to both get very bored, so I have a proposition for you. And the Indian guy goes, okay, what is it? He goes, I'll ask you a question, and if you can't answer it, I'll give you $5. Okay. And then you can ask me a question. If I can't answer your question, I'll give you $500. So this could be our game. And Albert goes, a guy goes, okay, you go first. Albert Einstein said, the plane's taking off. Okay, what's a good one? Obviously, Einstein is going to have to lower it a little bit. He goes, what is the distance between the surface of the moon and the earth? The Indian guy says, oh dear, I do not know. Pulls out $5 and gives it to Albert Einstein. I said, okay, this is good. And they're both kind of excited. Okay, good. And Albert Einstein looks at him and says, okay, what's your question? And the Indian guy goes, what goes up the hill with three legs but comes down with four? It goes up the hill with three legs and it comes down with four legs. He's sitting there going, and here's all this reasoning and all this intellect breaking things down. What could it be? And finally, Einstein's like, I have no idea. Pulls out $500, gives it back to the Indian guy. Indian guy pulls out his wallet, puts it back in. I'm like, okay. And Albert Einstein goes, okay, before we go, I got to ask you a question. The Indian goes, yes. He goes, what goes up a hill with three legs and comes down with four? And the Indian guy goes, pulled out $5 and gave it back. He couldn't answer the question. The teaching tonight. The wise man built upon the rock. Everybody knows that. Every Christian knows that. But most Christians don't know that they're not on the rock. Because Matthew chapter 7 verse 24 says, those that do it, you have to do the word. Not do the traditions of men. Not do as what the sheep do. You have to do what he tells you to do. And the foolish man builds upon sand. And Mark Hankins did a great teaching once, and he said, what people don't realize is both the righteous, those who are doing the word, they're righteous. Those who are not doing the word, unrighteous. Maybe it's not malicious, but if you're not doing it, you're going to go through storms. It's only those that are doing the word that when the storm's over, they still have their structure and it's still on a foundation. Everybody else, you're on sand. I got to hear that. And so tonight, Moses, and we're going to close on some scripture, how Yahweh pointed some things out about Moses. Moses built upon the rock. Jeremiah built upon the rock. Daniel, Azariah, Hananiah, Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego built upon the rock. Wait a minute. Wait, time out. Jeremiah was put into a dungeon and in a mire. That's the storm. Daniel, as far as we know, was made a eunuch. Carried away. Yeah, that was a storm. What happened to Daniel? Moses, and all these examples of these people, Moses, Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, are not popular people either, especially with the Hebrews. Moses would have never been voted in. Aaron, yeah, this guy does what he's told. Moses, not that guy. And so we're going to be looking at what most people, their whole kingdom, their whole palace, is a kingdom like King Zedekiah. Because Jeremiah was in a pit and in a prison. And where was Zedekiah? He was in a palace. Jeremiah was by himself. Zedekiah was surrounded by all the religious Jews. What was getting ready to happen? The storm was coming. And what we'll learn is not just to point out people that are built on sand, because all of us have things on sand. And if you have something that's on sand, Yahweh's word shows you and he reveals weaknesses. It's like, let's not talk about what's my skeletons in the closet. But Yahweh goes, look, it's okay. If you have something built upon sand, try to do some foundation repair. My biggest one was relationships with people. I was talking to Melania about that last night. And then I would look at that and go, the whole relationship I have with these people, there's no rock. There's not one single rock. What is it? It's fun. It's enjoyment. It's actually me not being the leader I'm supposed to be. It's fun. So, what does that mean? Just don't expect it to be there through a storm. And maybe one or two of them are going to go, wait a minute, I really want to hold on to this way. It could be a girlfriend or a boyfriend. You're going to go, then you might want to attempt to work on the foundation. And it could be the same. It could be the one thing that's going to actually save the whole relationship. Some other people would say, stay away from my foundation. Who's going to say, stay away from my foundation? I drew an upside down pyramid. You can balance a pyramid upside down. That's a one scripture doctrine. It's like this.
Oh, yeah.
But if you had a balanced pyramid on one scripture doctrine, guess what's going to happen if anybody comes near your doctrine? Whoa, get rid of that guy. And here this is a house of cards. So you can imagine Shacks, or if you ever built something like kids with sticks, they're building a fortress out of sticks. Just don't touch it. That's most people's palaces. If you come even close to their one scripture doctrine, there's one stone and this massive thing. Well, to them, did you know that we actually see everything upside down and your brain flips it? Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Our brain's seeing things upside down and he flips it. Most Christians' whole palaces is completely upside down. They don't think it is, but it is. And you're always looking and going to go, do they have a Bible? They have a Bible. Have they read it? No. That's on them. Okay. We don't necessarily have to go there. Matthew chapter 24 through 28 is the storms. We don't have to go there. You guys all know that. And you can look at it, but my dad pointed that out because I'm so good at gleaning things and finding a way to get a scripture to apply to what I want to say.
Yeah.
Right? And I do a teaching. My dad goes, my dad, the auditor, the editor, you took that out of context. I'm like, oh, you're ruining all my fun. He goes, only those that do the word. The whole point of the parable are those who do the word. And I had to go back. You're just trying to ruin my fun. So I went back and looked at the scripture and went, man, that guy is right again. That's the point of the parable. Galatians 6 says, what? Whew. There's a lot of correction in Galatians 6. And if you're not correcting people, you don't love them. Galatians 6:1. Galatians 6:7 says, Yahweh's not a man that he should be mocked. If you sow grapes, you're going to get grapes. That which you sow, you will reap. And then it closes in 6:9. This says, if you're sowing righteousness, hang in there. You will reap if you what? You faint not. Are you going to faint? And so are you. It's not for the weak, the weary. We're not called into, hey, if you become a believer and ambassador of Christ, it's going to get easy. No. It's going to get very, very difficult. And the more you go that direction in obedience, the harder the scale gets. Well, then why in the world would anybody want to do that? Because there's rewards. There's gratification. There's a heart-shaped box in all of us that only Yahweh can fill. You can't fill it with money or impulsive buying. It does. Then it falls out again. I'm like, oh no, now I got payments on this damn thing. Oh no, I got insurance or whatever. You get this, or you do whatever it is. You're like, oh. But Yahweh, with each person, if that person is humble, He will give you the gratification that nobody else can give. He'll give you the peace. You can be broke. Broke is a joke. Can't afford a rope. But have more joy than anybody on the planet. If you're fulfilling your calling, you'll have it. And what happens is, it can get harder and harder and harder. And you could be, oh, why me? Why? Or you could be like a Peter. Do you know there's people, a guy decided to not just free climb El Capitan, a 3,000 foot face, where if you fall, you die. Why is he going to do this? He wanted to climb that, all seven of them in the same day. Why? What's the point of being alive? You know, some people sit around in their pajamas watching sitcoms or whatever the whole day. For those believers, when Christ comes back, test is over, pass it in. I never did anything. He's really going to grade these things. That which you sow, you'll reap. It's here's Yahweh. And what we'll believe, sometimes we're going to think is that if it wasn't malicious, or if I'm doing what everybody else is doing, I'm not going to have to pay. I'm not going to have to reap these things. And the whole book of Jeremiah is Leviticus 18. Moses said, if you do what the people of the land did, you'll be vomited out. Is that a good word? Is that descriptive?
Yeah.
You will be vomited out. Deuteronomy 28 has the blessings, and there's a lot of good ministries. I remember Joyce Myers is at the top of the blessings. But they'll never say, but for you guys out there, did you know some of you are going to reap curses? Not curses of the IRS. Yahweh's curses. I didn't know that either. You need to read the book. Because if you don't know, that which you sow, you will reap. And if you are sowing curses, you're going to reap it. Well, I didn't know. The real important thing about the scriptures and the word is Yahweh is slow to anger. He smolders. He smolders, but he's going to pop it. He's going to pop at one point. You're going to pay. And a great example of that is the book of with Hezekiah. It starts off with Hezekiah. He was a righteous. Okay, great. Then they find the book of the law. They had never... people correct me. You spend so much time in the Old Testament. Why do you read the Old Testament? That's all you spend the whole time. You know you're going to be graded on the whole book. Not single scripture doctrines, things taken out of context. But the book says Yahweh is slow to anger, but he's going to pop you. That which you sow, you'll reap. And he's got grace, and he did that with the Apostle Paul. But Apostle Paul fell, and he did a 180 once he was corrected. It was you. What are you going to do? But Hezekiah, when they find the book, and they look, and they go, well, what's the name Yahweh? I never heard of Yahweh. How could it be there's a Yahweh? That's impossible. People would have said, Hezekiah, here's the book, man. And then when they kept reading the book, there's a warning before they go before Hezekiah. The priests read this and they're going, what did they probably read? Probably Leviticus 18. Probably Deuteronomy 28, the curses. And the priests read this thing and they go, what are we supposed to go read? Go read this. If you do not file your taxes, the IRS can... Holy moly, what do you mean? What's this taxes thing? You know, there's illegal aliens and people that come here. They don't know anything about taxes. Yeah, the IRS can confiscate everything, but you can imagine going before Hezekiah going, and Hezekiah, Did he do anything in malice?
No.
No. He was doing what everybody else was doing. And when Hezekiah reads it, what does he do? He sends for a prophet. And the prophet comes back and goes, this country, these people are going to reap what they've sown. It wasn't, hey, it started off, you're doing so great. Yahweh was looking at his heart. But you guys are all going to reap and you're going to pay the price. You're going to pay the piper. You're going to pay these debts. Because Yahweh warned them, my land, my land, my land, the landowner, you will pay my Sabbaths. And Israel was like in the rental going, I'm not paying you anything. Ha! Letting things fall apart. And he goes, you will pay this back. You ever have the kid, I'm not going to clean my room. You're not just going to clean the room. You're going to clean the room and the house and everything. No, I'm not. And here was Yahweh, and he came back, but then he goes, nevertheless, Hezekiah, because I saw your heart, it won't happen to you.
Josiah
rips his garment, he reads it, but what did he do after he got corrected? He rips his garment, and what does he do? Scriptures don't say this, but if you look at the cycle, Josiah had to go to war with Israel, because why did they have all these idols? Israel wanted them. Why do they have all these wicked things? Israel wanted him. And he was not going to be popular, but he had a choice. You're going to be popular with Yahweh, or you're going to be popular with the people. Zedekiah, the last king of Judah, he did the same thing. I can listen to the prophet, or I can listen to the people. And what did he do? Sons died in front of him, and his eyes were poked out. Now that's the end of Zedekiah. And that was it. Zedekiah reminds me of pastors. Actually, most pastors are Zedekiah. Because they know, Ephesians 1:3 says, Jesus has a God. It says it right there. But now their music and stuff, Jesus is God. He's exalted above it. They know that the Apostle Paul warned about a new Jesus and another Holy Spirit. Don't take it. If anybody says that, and he goes, and don't be confused, because Satan, the adversary, is an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11. What happened? And the pastors know it. But then they look at all Christendom. Who's going to buy it? And just like Zedekiah, they have their reward. And maybe their eyes aren't going to get poked out. Maybe their kids aren't going to die in front of them. The scripture says you're going to reap what you sow. And it's our job not to get people to follow us. It's all of us. You will be graded on your own homework. What did you do? And every once in a while, you're going to say, and I had this recently, somebody I'm mentoring spat in my face, basically. This is the book of Revelation, and it's Christ is coming back in 2024 or 2034. And I went, this is the same person that went to, you know, they've been proved time and time and time again. He's going to come back here. He didn't come back then. He's going to come back here. He's going to come back here. But over and over and over again. And I looked at it. Do I correct him? And so I asked Yahweh, what do I do? Do I have to go back after 7 years of mentoring him to show him the scriptures? And the revelation was, let the blind lead the blind. It is not information their problem. His problem is itching ears. He wants signs. And he wants something. Yahweh will do the same thing with all of us. He'll say, what should we do with this person? It could be a blind person. It could be you go be Nathaniel. Or Nathan, excuse me, going to King David. Do we want to deliver that message?
Yeah.
But there's empowerment through obedience. If we can remember the end of all of this. I was talking to my niece recently and trying to help her not be the coward that I used to be. I was very good at giving the world what it wanted. But after a while, by the time I got to, well, I was in my 20s, I learned that I was a prostitute to the world. They used me. They didn't thank me, and they wanted more and more. And I wasn't even myself. So I had to become a different person. I said, don't take the bait. Let's see here. Galatians 6, upside down pyramids. Leviticus chapter 26 is the blessing. Those that are built upon the rock. Who are those that are built upon the rock? Those that do the word. Leviticus, that's chapter 26, 1 through 13. Verse 14 through 35, but the curses of building upon the sand. It's all there. And how many Christians have read Deuteronomy and Leviticus? And I've been, to be honest with you, I have not read it near as much as I should have, especially at my age. If you're not reading the consequences of your behavior, that is all on you. And ignorance is not going to be accepted. Exodus chapter 39, page 124. Matthew 7, 24 through 28, those that do the word are going to have a house built upon a rock. You're not probably not going to be able to read it on the handout. We'll use the handout for something else at the end. And if somebody would read verse 43, chapter 39, Exodus, verse 43.
And Moses looked upon all the structure, and lo, they had made it. As Yahweh had commanded, so had they made it, and Moses blessed them.
I read that as I was reading through Leviticus, or Exodus, excuse me, and everything just slammed on the brakes. How would you like Yahweh, the editor, to say, Chuck, looked upon the structure he was building, and what was it? And lo, they had made it. How did they make it? As Yahweh had commanded. I imagine Moses, you know how lonely it would be to be a prophet like him? Because he got his information vertically. And he would say, that's not it. That's not the way to do it. And the other people are like, oh my goodness, dude, you're crazy, man. Wow, control freak. But Yahweh had showed him what things are supposed to be exactly like. That's not right. That's not right. And here it was when they're making things, and he's explaining, here's the tabernacle, here's the Ark of the Covenant. And I didn't know, it appears that Moses made the Ark of the Covenant too. I just read some scripture on that too. How did I not know that? Wow, he made the box too? But the thing is that Moses made things, and it says that the tabernacle and everything's in the book of Hebrews, I'm going to try to stay on course, but it's a replica. And you're making a replica, there's a right and there's a wrong. And it's very easy, if you draw somebody that somebody knows, it's very difficult. Because anybody go, that's not right. But here's Moses making things, making things exactly as Yahweh commanded. And so with our lives, we could be just like Moses, doing the word. If you look at the handout, if you're watching, you won't get to read this. But in verse chapter 39, Rotherham preserves the poetic and the structure of the Hebrew. Do you have a handout? If you look at the bottom, I'm trying to read upside down. 39, verse, the end of verse 1. And look how many times in verse chapter 39, the handout, you'll go a lot faster, Dad. You'll see the highlight.
Okay.
And what does it say in the highlight? As Yahweh commanded Moses.
Yeah,
next paragraph, here's this whole thing, and how's it concluded? As Yahweh commanded Moses. Next paragraph, as Yahweh commanded Moses. Then you scoot over here to this paragraph here. What's the conclusion? As Yahweh commanded Moses. And I put above each one of these, upon the rock. He's building upon the rock. Doing the word is on it. You go down to the next one. As Yahweh commanded Moses. As Yahweh commanded Moses. As Yahweh commanded Moses. And you come over here, and then you go down here, and Moses gets to see it. He looks at it. Perfect. Just like Yahweh ordered it. Like making a wedding cake for somebody you really adore, if you got a chance to make it, a drawing, and it's exactly as it was ordered. Or President Trump with the Trump Towers or something, going, you guys got it! You nailed it! And here's Yahweh looking at Moses' life, and we could use this gun. It's exactly, and here he built it. And then you can continue on the end of the book of Exodus, as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Next, down this scripture, as Yahweh commanded Moses, as Yahweh commanded Moses over and over again. The example of somebody building upon the rock. And the end of Exodus is perfect for it. And that is the prototype for us. Your relationships. Your finance. All these things, are they built upon work? Are you doing the work? Are you doing it? And if you love somebody and you say, hey, I'm really worried. How many chapters are you reading a day? Okay, how many chapters are you reading a month? Okay. You know there's going to be a test on this. And we encourage them, and then if they don't want it, okay, let the blind lead the blind. But we get to encourage people, but not just for the next life. The reaping in this life, too, going to go, look, Zedekiah didn't think he was going to reap, but he convinced himself he was not going to be carried away. But Yahweh's not mocked, and he was carried away. Let's see. Now turn to Jeremiah chapter 38, page 760. So this teaching, actually, I had read it, and I wrote down the notes, and I was like, is this actually a teaching, or is this an observation that Yahweh had given to me? And then Dad did the teaching last week on Zedekiah, and it was right in line. I'm like, wow, so actually this teaching would be really good to listen right after Dad's teaching. Chapter 38, verse 13. You have to go to the bathroom or something? Okay, I'm not worried about the beeping. Okay, in chapter 38, if you get a chance to read it, at the beginning, the war's going back and forth, and what Dad pointed out last week on the teaching was Zedekiah was not like a maliciously bad guy. He kept going back to the prophet. And today, that's like pastors. They'll talk to you in secret, not around anybody. And Zedekiah is going to be in secret when he goes and sees Jeremiah. And our job is not to snub him and to mock the Zedekiahs. But Zedekiah, you need to read Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And here's Jeremiah. But we'll read, so like at the beginning, verse 38, Ebmelech, he's the eunuch that appears Jeremiah's life. He's in the bottom of a dungeon. Let me see here. Where's Jeremiah? He's in some sort of dungeon in mire. Maybe it could be sewage. It's bad. He's being punished. How many pastors are in gigantic churches? And then they see somebody who's got, what's your church? Oh yeah? Which Sanhedrin, which seminary did you go to? Get this person out of here. Which is really important. We'll go down here. Verse 14. If you guys just start reading verse 14 through 18.
Were we still on chapter 38?
38,
14.
How far do you
want to
go?
To 18.
Then King Zedekiah sent and fetched Jeremiah the prophet unto him in the third entrance, which is in the house of Yahweh. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I am going to ask thee a thing. Do not hide anything from me. And said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, when I tell thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And when I counsel thee, thou wilt not hearken unto me. So King Zedekiah swore unto Jeremiah secretly, saying, by the life of Yahweh, who made for us this soul, I will no wise put thee to death, neither will I deliver thee into the hand of these men who are seeking thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, Elohim of Israel, if thou wilt indeed go forth unto the princes of the king of Babylon, then shalt thine own soul live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, but thou shalt live, thou and thy house. But if thou wilt not go forth unto the princes of the king of Babylon, then shall this city be delivered into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. Then said King Zedekiah to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews who have fallen away unto the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they maltreat me.
Okay, we'll pause there for a second. It was real important that I never realized this until my father's recent teachings. If you go back up to verse 17, if thou will indeed go forth, you see that part? At halfway through verse 17. If thou will indeed go forth unto the princes of the king of Babylon. To who? The Babylonians or the barbarians? No, that's Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, and Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel chapter 2, verse 48 and 49, who's running Babylon? Yahweh is. Yahweh is running Babylon. Yahweh's still the king, and still my property. Get out! It's your eviction notice. No. We're not getting out. Really. You can imagine, you're going to tell the landlord no, and they're saying no. And if you go down to verse 19, then said King Zedekiah to Jeremiah, I'm afraid of the Jews who have fallen away unto the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hands and they maltreat me. Who's going to maltreat him? Daniel. Who's telling him this? You know what Christians will teach other Christians, that if you go to anybody that is not teaching their idolatrous doctrine? Cults! Stay away from those guys! You have to fear, 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 fear! Oh, you don't want to become like a Jehovah Witness. What's wrong with a Jehovah Witness? I don't know. But everybody's afraid of them. You are listening to the same people as Zedekiah is. If somebody can come to you with the scriptures and show it, not a single scripture doctrine, clearly, from cover to cover. Now, there are a couple of exceptions of speaking in tongues and stuff. That's a little bit different. It's not through the whole book, but in certain areas. But then you look at this and you go, who are your counselors? And Zedekiah, who is he going to believe? When somebody comes to you with the scriptures and shows you scripture, 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 you're going to reap what you sow. And what? Why are they going to reap what they're sown? Why are they going to be vomited out of the land? Turn to chapter 44, verse 8. Chapter 44. These are going to be the grievances of Yahweh. Verse 8. I just highlighted a couple things, and I encourage you to read these things. In that ye provoked me to anger by the works of your hands, burning incense to what?
Other gods.
In the land of Egypt. How many Christians say, I don't burn incense to other gods? Okay? I'm sure Zedekiah probably thought the same thing. No, I'm not burning incense to other gods. I think about some of the Catholics burning incense to Mary. Here's an image. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, which Yahweh says about images. There is no image of Yahweh except for His Son. And where in the scriptures it says you can't make an image of the Son? Is there anywhere it says you can't make an image of the Son? No, that's fine. But you're forbidden to ever try to make an image of Yahweh. Never, ever, ever. You've been stoned. Verse 15, and all the men who knew that their wives were burning incense to other gods. I think of some of the yoga stuff that I've gone to. They're prostituting themselves. I did it too. But all of a sudden I'm sitting here and they're going, Namaste. Well, no, we're not really doing it. That's like guys going in, to me, I'm going, I got a real issue here. I know a lot of guys go to Twin Peaks and Hooters and their wife's fine with it. Really? Because this wife we're talking about is not a woman. This is the all-seeing eye. And when you're bowing down about, I just wonder about the yoga things that cut me separate, but I tried to. I'm going, I feel like a prostitute. I feel like I'm a, because Yahweh is a jealous Elohim. No other images. Then there's the Queen of Heavens. You ever heard of Mother Earth? Mm-hmm. Mother Nature? And you keep going on in verse 18, whereas from the very time we ceased burning incense to the Queen of Heavens. And we won't keep going on there, but here's what Yahweh's seeing all this. And you didn't pay the Sabbath, and you're doing all this right in front of me. Also, they didn't free the slaves. A Jewish slave you could have for 6 years. If you start reading through Leviticus, you're like, wow, there's some really weird stuff in here. In Deuteronomy, if you find a dead person and you don't know who killed it, you got to measure the distance. Okay, between you and the other town. You know how much time we're talking about here? Okay, who is it closer to? Oh, it's you guys, Hayesville. Ha! Your problem. Then the Hayesvillians got to go get a heifer, find a torrent, a creek bed, and then cut its head off over the water. What does that have to do with anything? Do it! I think about living with my dad or living with the roommates. They like to do things this way, do it. Don't question, just do these things. But with releasing the slaves after 6 years, and Jeremiah reproves them, you haven't released the Hebrews. The seventh year they go free, and Yahweh warned you. He goes, unless you, because the year of Jubilee, here's these things they talked about, you being hesitant to lend to people and do things because the year of Jubilee is coming. You misers, do it! And he warns them over and over again. And I think just with the slavery, that's child support. You talk to people about court ordered child support right now, don't go there. Don't go there. They're going to do it, it would appear. And so, I go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. You can tell somebody about court-ordered child support and enslaving somebody for 18 years. And you're going to go, it's not me. I'm not going to come confiscate your stuff. I'm not going to carry you away. But all these things that you have, with whatever it is on sand. And especially if you're enslaving another Christian. Yahweh doesn't look at it. You think you're getting away with it. Yeah, so did Judah, till they were carried away. A house built upon sand. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, if somebody read that for me.
You shall not put Yahweh your God to the proof, as you have put him to the proof in Massah. That is the place of proving.
Can we get there? Sorry, I said 6. It is 4. Chapter 4. And it's called the 10 words. And here's the 10 words in verse 16. I'll reference things, but I'll read through it so I don't take too much time. In verse 16, Yahweh is telling them all the stuff that's happened. You make sure you do the 10 words. Verse 16, at least you break faith and make you an image, a form of likeness, a model, a male or a female. An image to do what? A male, a female, an image. Whatever this image is it God the Son? Is it God the Holy Spirit? I didn't think about it. There's a song, Holy Spirit Come. That was a pretty song. Until my dad pointed out, going, who are they singing to? Are they singing to Yahweh? No. Read verse 24. Would somebody please read verse 24?
Seeing that as for Yahweh thy God, a consuming fire, he is a jealous God.
He is a jealous God. And if I was married, I'd be a jealous husband. I'm not sharing my wife with anybody. Yahweh, his glory, not going to share with anybody. And when you have an image, and so there's going to be images right in verse 23, don't make an image. Now look at Christendom now. Man wants images. You had golden calves. Easy to look at them. Zedekiah, well, we're not doing any of those things. Do you have God the Son? Then you have an image. Do you have God the Holy Spirit? You have an image. And neither one of those words are anywhere in the book. What you would do is with Zedekiah, if Zedekiah had a chance, if we could go in and go, Zedekiah, who are you worshiping and adoring? Who are you singing songs to? And does it align with what Moses was doing? Is it what Moses? Because there is no image of him. You shouldn't say Yahweh's name in vain. And we should be able to do the same thing with Christians. Who are you singing to? What is it? Would Moses listen to Christian radio stations? Or the Apostle Paul? Probably not. Because Christian radio stations don't do the word. They do one scripture doctrines and they produce what the people want. It's the itching ears. Zedekiah had a foundation built upon the itching ears. And he knew it. Here's these people. Or someone knew it. He convinced himself he wasn't. It's like somebody committing adultery. It's okay. We're going to, you know, whatever. But Yahweh is not mocked. Let me see here. We already went over to 2 Chronicles. This is going to be with Zedekiah. Ignorance is not an excuse. Now, what's important with 2 Chronicles chapter 13, ignorance is not an excuse. Because here's King David. Uzziah dies because he touches the Ark of the Covenant. And it says David was dancing before and Uzziah is dead. Are you kidding me? Couldn't you have given me a heads up? Here's David. David was angry. The Philistines weren't, they didn't die. They had it on the cart. But the Philistines were commanded to know the word. Yeah. All of Israel were. Well, David and the people of his time, well, we weren't forced to read it. We didn't know it. Whose fault's that? Yes. And here, what did David do? They took the Ark of the Covenant and they put it into a place called Obed-Edom. Who is Obed-Edom? Can you imagine that guy? No pressure. What happened? Uzziah just got struck by lightning in front of dancing King David. The prophet David? The man who's after Yahweh's own heart? Yeah, that guy. David was messing up. Well, why did David do it? Well, he didn't know the scriptures. We got to go read all the scriptures to make sure we get it right. Can you imagine? Do you think? What do you think Yahweh would have done to Obed-Edom if he had exalted his heart or if he took it lightly? I don't care about this stuff. Yahweh, who's Yahweh? Then he would have been blessed, but Yahweh blessed poor Obed-Edom. And first, you can imagine. No pressure. Is there anything I need to know here? But Yahweh blessed him. Okay. So the point would just be like, if you have relationships that are not built upon the rock, if it's a career, if it's an image or something, we need to warn people. It's going to go through tribulation. And you can imagine Zedekiah going, well, my forefathers weren't carried away. Well, no, his forefathers were carried away. Maybe Josiah going, well, we haven't been carried away yet. Well, Israel was carried away. And who was carried away first? Does anybody know? This is a trick question, by the way.
Is it Judah?
Judah was last.
It would be Israel.
So you had Yahweh's people, you have Judah.
Israel was carried away 150 years before Judah was.
But. Yeah, but this is a trick question. So because Israel was, but before, it wasn't just the 10 tribes. The tribes on the other side of the Jordan were carried away first. So east of the Jordan, they're carried away. Then the 10 tribes are carried away. You can imagine we're not going to be carried away. But the thing would be with people to say, look, are you built upon the rock? You think you're going to get away with it? Nobody has ever gotten away with anything because Christ is coming back. But for us to do the word, Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for these words. Don't be fearful about getting things in line. Be excited that you have opportunities to get your bookkeepings, your spiritual bookkeepings in line and get your lives right, your priorities. And if you are putting me first and you are producing the faith and you are producing the obedience that I've called you to do, I will give you the desires of your heart. And I am not a man that I should lie, nor the son of a man. But I will bless you and bless you above anything you can imagine. Read the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. I will make this life more fulfilling than you could ever imagine. That is my will for you. But you have freedom of will. And you have your own heart. It is your choice. Amen.